What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Rayfield Davis podcast. Today we got recurring guests, Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, college bracketology genius, expert, college basketball writer. How you doing, Jerry? What's going on with you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you taking the time. Anytime. Want to touch on our Boilers, touch on the Big Ten as a whole, kind of touch on what you're seeing around college basketball. But definitely want to start with Purdue. I remember we were DMing a little bit before Purdue went out to Rutgers, and you wanted to see how Purdue would play in their first true road game. So kind of understanding, what made you have that itch about thinking like that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've been a Purdue fan for a long time. So, you know, there are games that I look at on the schedule before the season even starts, and I think that one's trouble. That one's trouble. I like us here. I like us there. You know, some of it is just matchups, but some of it is, like with Rutgers, we don't play them well. And we don't play them well, especially in their building. And that's just the way it's been since they've joined the league. So, you know, it's just one of those places I have a bad feeling about. And fortunately, I only got to watch the first 8 minutes of that game. And then I had to go to my son's band concert and I missed the rest. And then I saw, the highlight of the final shot. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, Ron Harper makes that shot 95% of the time against Purdue and maybe 15% against everyone else. That's just the way things go when we play Rutgers. They've beaten us now four in a row, Rutgers has. So there's something with the matchups or whatever that just doesn't do well for us. But, you know, we play Indiana, we've beaten them, nine in a row? We do well at Wisconsin. We do well at Illinois. You know, there's just some places where, for whatever reason, we're relatively comfortable in those environments on the road, and Rutgers is just not one of those.
Do you think the crowd threw the team off, like the guys that hadn't necessarily played in front of a Big Ten crowd before?
Well, and that's two classes, right? Because the freshmen, last year's freshmen, didn't see any crowds, home or away, maybe a little in the NCAA tournament, the one game they played, but there were certainly no road crowds last season. So you've got two classes that had not played in a hostile environment. And that gym at Rutgers, and you've been there, it's a bandbox. You know, it's an old school, you know, gym like you'd see in some high schools in Indiana. And it's just, you know, it's a tough place to play. Everybody's right on top of you. It's loud for its size. But it's one of those multi-purpose facilities that the students have access to, you know, during the, you know, when they're not playing games there, that, you know, the kids can just go in there and just shoot around. And you can't do that at places like Mackey. You know, it's intimidating of a place as Mackey is, and it's one of the most. It's just, it's not a multi-purpose facility in terms of, you know, general use. And the Rutgers gym is like that. And someday they'll remodel it, and it may not be the same. But for now, that's a den. That's a tough place to go and play a basketball game.
No, 100%. And since then, Purdue's picked up some victories. I mean, tough one against NC State. I mean, blew Butler out. We play again tomorrow. I mean, blew their last game out. Have you seen necessarily growth from this team, or just playing bad teams right now?
Well, it's hard to see growth when you're playing bad teams, right? I mean, Incarnate Word they fought. Incarnate Word played hard for 40 minutes, and, you know, that's a better, you know, game for Purdue than, say, Omaha, was really a no-show. But, you know, and I don't know what we're going to get from Nicholls State, but, it, you know, that's a team that Purdue should be able to handle pretty easily. But I thought where there was growth was that North Carolina State game right after the loss to Rutgers, get off to a bad start in that game and really have to fight the entire way through that game just to get it to overtime and then find a way to win in overtime. So overcoming that adversity right after you come off a loss in a game that you really probably should have won is to me, that's an area of growth, you know, to be able to bounce back and win another game where you weren't playing particularly well. And I don't know about you, but for me, one of the key points in that game in the terms of the comeback was Sasha Stefanovic getting fouled 94 feet from the basket with about 5 minutes or so to go. and he hadn't seen anything go through the hoop all day. He hits a couple of free throws, and all of a sudden he hits a free three-pointer. He makes a layup to send it to overtime. He hits a three to start the overtime. And all it's like, you know how shooters are. Sometimes they just need the ball to go in the basket once to light up. And Sasha lit up late in that game, and I think that was a big part of why Purdue was able to come back and tie it and then eventually win it.
No, sure, I agree, because he's one of those guys like a Dakota, like a Klein. You make one, they liable to rip off four or five in a row. And then, so when you look at the team, and you've seen them, obviously, and obviously, like you can't, you like you said, you can't really tell the growth against bad teams. But where would you like to see the team grow? Where would against when you see them against the Gonzaga? Where do you think they need to get better at?
Well, if you're going to beat a team like Gonzaga or Duke or Baylor or one of the better teams in college basketball, you're going to need to hit your three-point shots. And for the most part, Purdue is still shooting the ball pretty well. And they're taking good shots for the most part. The perimeter guys have played pretty well all season long, and it's a big part of why they've been successful. And another key part of that is that, you know, Travion Williams is like the one of the best big man passers, the passers out of the post that I've probably ever seen. And now Zach Edey is starting to look more for passes to the perimeter when he's getting double and triple teamed, and he's making good passes, not the flashy stuff that Travion can do, but solid passes to shooters. But really the one problem that we're having is still turnovers. So we really need to get Brandon Newman's shot going again. And it looked like maybe it would in the Incarnate Word game, he'd hit a couple, but he's still not taking great shots all the time. And in fact, I think the first one he made was probably not a good shot, or he kind of double clutched it. And then it went in, and then the next shot he took was not so good. And so shot selection for him has been kind of a problem. And he's too good a shooter to be in a prolonged slump. So if he can just kind of get it out of his head a little bit, just get into a rhythm and get into the flow of the offense, Brandon Newman's shot is a key component of the second unit playing well together, because he's really the best shooter in that unit. So they need him to be effective for that unit to really be effective, beyond now Zach Edey, who's coming in with the second unit. We just need to get Brandon going. Now, Brandon, to his credit, is not letting it affect the rest of his game. He still attacks hard on defense. He's trying to do other things and still doing well. He's not hanging his head, but he needs to get that shot going.
No, that makes sense, because, I mean, you talk about it. How important do you think a guy like a Newman, I mean, you talk about his importance. When you see a team later in the season, say a Jaden gets in foul trouble or a Sasha gets in foul trouble, you're going to need that next guy to step up. So it is extremely important to get them going.
Well, that's one of the strengths of Purdue, though, is its depth. I mean, they've got a 10-man rotation. It's a legitimate 10-man rotation. I mean, all of these guys can play. And if they couldn't play, if they hadn't earned the minutes, then Matt wouldn't play them. So if, you know, and if it ever gets to a point where a guy is not contributing enough, you know, he's not going to play. You know, Ethan Morton has been a big factor in lately for Purdue the last half of the games that they've played. You know, I think he's leading the team in plus minus. He's making a lot of plays that are important plays, but don't necessarily show up on the box score. And now he's starting to get his shot to fall a little bit. So, you know, he could contribute. I mean, he's a big scorer in high school. You know, all of these guys, like Eric Hunter was a big scorer in high school. All of these guys can score and have done so in the past, but it hasn't really been their role at Purdue. But guys like Hunter and Ethan Morton, you know, when they get shots, they should be firing because they can hit them.
No, 100%. And you see a guy like, I mean, Ethan Morton, then now Jaden's shooting the ball extremely well over the last few games. Where do you put Jaden in the conversation? I mean, best players in the country, best guards in the country. Where's he at for you?
He's definitely top five. And we picked our All-American team because I thought if Purdue was going to have the kind of season that people thought Purdue could have, he was going to have to play at that level. So it wasn't really – it was based on more potential than what he – very good freshman stuff, but still freshman stuff as a freshman. But he's taken his game up another notch, and one of the big ways that he's done that is being a more consistent three-point shooter, because if you have to go guard him at the three-point line, you're pretty much doomed, right? Because he can just blow by you. He's arguably the most explosive person with the ball in all of college basketball. And it's an element that most teams don't have. And Purdue rarely has guys like this. I mean, you know, he's just a special player, but it's not just the athletic ability. He's got a great head for the game. And you can tell he's a coach's son because he sees things. He knows where to look for things on the court. And he makes some really good passes out of just strange situations because he knows where guys are going to be. And he really sets up a lot of guys. I don't know what his assist numbers are because Purdue depends on him so much for scoring, but he's really good at passing the ball when he sets his mind to passing the ball, and he knows where the players are going to be and where the passes need to go.
Oh, I say that's one of his hidden talents that no one talks about, is his ability to drive and kick it out to shooters, get in the shot pocket. So, no, I think he has great, great sight, great vision. When he decides,
and he's usually in control.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, his athletic ability is such that he's so explosive that you wonder if he's really in control, but he's in control. Yeah. He knows what he's doing when he's in the air. He has an idea with what he's going to do with the ball.
No, 100%. Like I've said it in the sense of, you don't want a player to jump pass, but he's a player, when he does, you kind of trust it a little bit more. It normally completes.
Well, he's doing it with a purpose.
Yep.
You know, some guys jump and they're like, oh no, I can't shoot. Now what do I do? He's jumping with a purpose.
No, 100%. And then you look at right across the lineup, you got Trevion, then you got Zach. I mean, two of the better players also in their own regards in the conference. And I know the Big Ten right now, you got Kofi, you got TJD, it's big man center Hunter Dickinson. But where would you put Trevion and Zach in that mix of the Big Ten bigs? Because I think a lot of people leave Zach out. I'm just curious how you would list it.
Oh, no, I would put Kofi first. I just think that he's a tremendous post player and hard for almost anybody in this league to guard. And that includes most of the other guys that you mentioned. Now, Trevion could body him, but Kofi's taller. Zach can body him, and Zach is taller, but Kofi's probably a better athlete at this point and a little more savvy. So I would put Kofi first, and Trevion and Zach are, for me, two and three. Now, Trace Jackson Davis is having a tremendous year, but I want to see him play guys first. And Indiana's schedule that can test Trace Jackson Davis. So I want to see what happens when he gets in the Big Ten and starts to play some of these other guys. And Hunter Dickinson is still a pretty good player. And, you know, it's the league is blessed with a tremendous talent in the post. And I would say that right now he's fifth. I wouldn't have put him there at the start of the season, but right now he's fifth. And that team is struggling in a way that I really would not have expected. They've been, I would say, arguably the most disappointing Big Ten team so far this season.
What about Michigan? I say the same thing. What about Michigan right now you think is causing them to struggle? What are you seeing?
Well, I think some of it is just you've got some new guys that are trying to acclimate. I think, you know, part of it is you had guys that maybe thought they were going pro and then they didn't, and it took them a while to kind of get the positive attitude back. I'm not ruling Michigan out. There's too much talent on that roster, and Juwan Howard is too good a coach to say that Michigan is just going to be this above-average team all season long. The light is going to go on for Michigan at some point this season, and for the Big Ten, they hope it's later rather than sooner, but there's too much talent on that team for them to just struggle the way that they have. But eventually they're going to come together. They're going to figure things out. And Michigan's going to be a force in this league.
Yeah, you look at Michigan, you're saying they're going to figure it out. Illinois seems to be coming together to play a plumber. Do you think Purdue has a chance to run away with the league? Is there a few teams that you have concern about, or where do you kind of see the league playing out?
Well, I think if anybody's going to run away with the league, it's Purdue, but I don't really think that's going to happen. Purdue is definitely the favorite because of their size and their shooters and their depth and all of the things that we have seen from Purdue. If they can take care of the ball a little better and ratchet up the defense, but the defense is getting better, but, you know, they start playing what we expect Purdue defense to be, then, you know, Purdue's going to be really, really tough. But I think Illinois is capable because they've got great guard play. And we haven't even seen that much of Curbelo yet, I don't think. Plummer's been great. But, you know, when you've got a guy like Coburn in the middle and you can run your offense through him, they've got enough weapons around him to be very competitive. Michigan State that Tom Izzo's doing his thing this year with a team that nobody really expected much from, and they're in the top 10 nationally and playing great basketball. And you can never really rule out Michigan State. And Ohio State is playing very well, too. They're the only team to beat Duke so far. They've got E.J. Liddell, who's, as bigs go in the Big Ten, is a bit undersized. But he's got a more versatile game than most of these guys. And so he's an interesting matchup for some of these other teams with, you know, true post players in centers. So I think for Purdue in terms of a long season conference race.
And what you talk about Michigan State and not coming a season highly ranked or people kind of sleeping on them in a sense. Why do you think guys took that approach when it came to Michigan State this season? And what have they what have they done, I guess, getting over that hump, or have they done anything special, or, you know?
Well, they have a special coach. I mean, Tom Izzo is a Hall of Fame coach. And, you know, last year's team struggled. They made the first four of the NCAA tournament. They never really got their chemistry the way they like it. And I think this year's team, that the with the new guys and the guys that are left over, there's just a better chemistry on this team. They seem to know each other better. Maybe just having a full regular training camp, which nobody had last year, to put the pieces in place. Like, Michigan State never got the chemistry figured out last year. And this year they seem to have figured out how to play together earlier in the season, and they've got talented guys. You know, they always have talented guys. They usually have the best recruiting class in the Big Ten or one of them. So, you know, the talent's always there, but, you know, the chemistry is there this year, and that's going to make them tough because they're not going to beat themselves.
Right. And when you look at teams across the league too, you think like a Minnesota, Northwestern, I mean, they're playing well. If you look at some bracketology, early stuff, they have them in. Do you think this Minnesota run is serious? Do you think this Minnesota run lasts through the Big Ten? Or do you think it's one of those things that it kind of fades out?
Well, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. I don't think you can just say it's definitely going to fade out. I mean, the competition gets a lot tougher because once you get into the Big Ten, you know, instead of playing like two or maybe three good teams for a month and a half, you might be playing two good teams every week. So then, you know, how do you withstand the rigors of Big Ten play? And that's where your conditioning comes into play, your experience comes into play, you know, the knowing that the grind is there and how to work through that grind for a team like Minnesota, who's got a new coaching staff and some new guys. It maybe we'll have to just wait and see, you know, how do they do when they're playing four ranked teams in 2 weeks, you know, and then, you know, you've got that, you know, one right after the other that you get in the Big Ten sometimes. Northwestern, I'm not expecting much from Northwestern. They're really untested at this point. I don't think the talent is there for Northwestern to be dangerous long-term. They may get somebody here and there, but they're long-term, I don't see Northwestern as being dangerous. But Minnesota could finish in the middle of the league, and that might be good enough to get them in the NCAA tournament.
How many teams do you see having a chance from the Big Ten? We look at the ACC, the Pac-12, look across the country. What's the realistic guess that you
would say
teams?
There's probably, 10 or 11, 12 maybe, depending on how things go for them. Like, I wouldn't even rule out Rutgers. You know, Rutgers has had some roster issues. You know, Geo Baker's been hurt. They've had some problems. They get their full roster together. You know, Rutgers only has to go like 12 and 8 in the league. You know, and then they've got a chance to be an at-large team now. I say only, you know, but they've already beaten Purdue. So, you know, they can – that gives you confidence to know that you can beat pretty much anybody, at least on your home floor. Steal a few on the road, and all of a sudden you're four or five games over 500 and you've got a shot. So even a team like Rutgers, who's been struggling a little bit while, you know, especially Baker's been hurt, you know, they still have a chance. If they get healthy, you know, Rutgers is a more dangerous team than they have shown.
Right. No, I agree with that. I agree. And then just had a couple questions. And then just for me, when you look at the Big Ten, you look at them nationally, just as a conference top to bottom, where do you put them right now? I know there's only, I think, four teams ranked in the top 25. Where would you put the conference as a whole? Would you at a Power Fives or whatever you see?
I'd say the Big 12 and the SEC are probably ahead. And then the Big Ten would be third. But really, before the season, I would have told you the Big Ten was going to be first. But there have been some just disappointing performances. Rutgers actually is one of them, really due to just circumstances with their roster. Michigan has been disappointing. Illinois struggled a little bit, especially, you know, as without Coburn, and then as he came back. So there's just been some losses that some of these teams have taken that have been, that have hurt the overall quality of the league. So I would put the Big Ten third right now, but they could still get, you know, 8 or 9 teams in the NCAA tournament.
Right. And when I'm going to hit you with a few quick ones. If you were to make a game plan, if you're an opposing coach, how would you beat Purdue?
Gosh, how big is my biggest guy?
You have a 7-footer. You have a Big Ten roster. You have a big,
yeah,
roster.
You know, you've got to, I think you've got to try and double the post and make him pass out, even though Travion is so good at it. You've got to kind of hope the perimeter guys are going to have a bad night shooting. The thing about Travion is that normally you're going to double the post and then you're going to cover the shooters that are, you know, in front of the post guy. But Travion throws it over his head to a guy in the corner and you haven't got enough guys to cover them all. So, you know, it's hard, but that's, I think you've got to try and harass Purdue shooters and force turnovers, pressure Purdue 94 feet as much as you can, because I would put a lot of pressure on Purdue's guards. And then once you get in the half court, I'm trying to double team the post as much as I can. But, you know, Travion's such a good passer and Zach is just so massive that you can double team him and he's just taller. It almost right. doesn't matter. But in some ways you have to hope Purdue is a bad night from long range shooting and a bad night taking care of the ball, but you can try and force at least the taking care of the ball part and possibly even the bad shooting night.
I understand that, and it makes a lot of sense. You hope they miss, but then Purdue, if they take care of the ball, they rebound, they're playing well, they kind of can combat it. But I got another quick one for you. If you need one rebound, you look back at Purdue history, who are you taking to get one rebound to win a game?
One rebound.
Game one rebound.
Steve Scheffler. And who, okay. I don't know if you ever saw him play. Steve Scheffler was about 6'10", one of Gene Cady's Muscle Beach guys. You know, he looked like a football player. He had the arms and legs of a football player. And that was a guy who just kind of had a nose for the ball and great feet. I'd take Travion. You know, I mean, Travion is such a fantastic rebounder and really knows how to position himself. But if I'm going to go off of this team back earlier, I'm going to go with Steve Scheffler.
You need a three. Who's taking it?
Troy Lewis.
And you need somebody
Lewis,
just
– I'm not even thinking about it. Troy Lewis, yeah, quick. I don't know if you – well, you probably never saw him play from Anderson High School in Indiana. Ferocious three-point shooter. He was fantastic. He could hit from anywhere on the court. I love guys like Etuan Moore, Ryan Klein, you know, Dakota Mathias. I mean, we've had a lot of great three-point shooters, but Troy Lewis will always be my guy.
I like it. Now, Jay, I appreciate you taking the time. Definitely talk Purdue, talk some Butler. I'm looking forward to Big Ten season as a whole. Like you said, you get Michigan getting better. You get Illinois getting Curbelo back. Minnesota's on a good run. I mean, Purdue is playing well. I mean, then Michigan State, Ohio State, Wisconsin, they're all ranked in the top 25. It makes for a good season. So I'm definitely looking
easy.
Forward to it. No, yeah, no, it doesn't seem to me, it doesn't seem like a night. It's not a night you can take off. It's going to be a league where every night you may, I don't think it'd be any surprises. I think everybody's good enough this year.
So, yeah, I agree.
No, I appreciate you joining us. Thank you. And then until next time, everybody out there, enjoy the game. Nickel State, see you guys next week. Check out RachelDavisBasketball.com for more information about our basketball camps. Until next time, boiler up, hammer down.